Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
This is Robert Spencer, the director of Jihad Watch and the author of Arab Winter Comes to America and Did Muhammad Exist? And you are listening to Audrey Russo on Real Talk.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. All of Biden's policies lean toward communism. Is it possible this now compromised candidate would throw our nation into further totalitarian lockdowns than we have experienced with the Wuhan virus? And will that irreparably damage us? Well, we're going to find out more about this with my next guest for my new listeners. Diana West is the author of several best-selling books, including The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization, and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. And she's also the author of the new bestseller, The Red Thread, A Search for Ideological Drivers Inside the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. Diana has contributed essays and features to numerous periodicals, including The Wall Street Journal, The Weekly Standard, and The Washington Post. She's also been a columnist for The Washington Times, Scripps Howard News Service, and United Media. And she can be read at The Daily Caller. Diana is also a popular analyst and contributor on both radio and TV. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Diana West.
Hello, hello. Great to be with you, Audrey.
Well, it's great to have you with us again, Diana. And this is just this is going to be some segment. we're going to jump into this. This is unbelievable. The deep state and its helper monkeys in the media and big tech are attempting a vile attack on America's freedoms by putting up a candidate that is not only extremely unhealthy, but as we've seen revealed so far, a man who is compromised and, in my opinion, a detriment to American national security. Among the helper monkeys of the Biden crime family is the FBI and the DOJ, yet again. It wasn't enough that they attempted a soft coup against a duly elected president. Now we find out via Hunter Biden's laptop that they were hiding critical info on the Bidens. Can you expound on that? It's amazing.
Yes, it is amazing. And you left out one of the helper monkeys being the so-called intelligence community, which, as we were heading into this juggernaut of Hunter Biden's laptop plus Hunter Biden's former business associates, I mean, this starts to get larger and larger in terms of the evidence that is emerging. We had the same old usual suspects, but 50 of them from the intelligence community, including James Clapper, John Brennan, etc., signing off on a letter saying that the Hunter Biden story was Russian disinformation. So this is the deep state. Let's hope. I mean, I wish I could say it was the deep state's last stand, but it certainly is a last stand of the deep state before the election. And fortunately, we're watching the information, I think, pour over all the obstacles and battlements that they put up. But this is, yes, this is, frankly, and this has kind of been my take on it, almost even with each unbelievable revelation about the Biden family, I keep thinking this is bigger than the Biden family, because all of these things have been going on for many years. Some large amount of it, because it deals with foreign nationals from hostile powers such as Russia and China, had to come under the radar, literally, and other kinds of detection software devices and so on, of the CIA, of the FBI and Justice Department, all through these years, whether it's the last several years or maybe the last 15 years or the last 20 years. I mean, this is a long-term influence operation that we're looking at, certainly from Communist Party of China targeting the Biden family for many years. And what I'm driving at here is that as we watch the Biden corruption story, the crime family story emerge, we have to realize that it has been protected and enabled by either total reckless irresponsibility of the watchdog agencies or criminality thereof, because this could not have been going on without check from the CIA, from the FBI, unless there was a real problem there. So it's sort of like we're watching this hot center of this Biden problem, and it is surrounded by the, you know, you call them helper monkeys, and yes, they are, and it's like helper legions of monkeys from these other agencies. So it's kind of a twin flaming scandal, and the something bigger than the Biden family is the problem with our institutions, which we've been talking about for many years now as the deep state. This is how the deep state operates. And now we are in this utterly sick position of actually having to contemplate a Biden election victory taking him to the White House, even as he is totally compromised, and a national security nightmare going into that. So we have to hope for the wisdom of the American people to be just, you know, say no. Yeah. And we hope that the fraud is overcome by the massive wisdom of the American people. So it's a really, really crazy moment we find ourselves in American history. Very dangerous, very frightening, very fascinating, very horrifying. I mean, I don't even know what more is to say. It kind of is, you kind of lose your sense of calm and sort of clear crystal analysis when you're looking at something so scandalous. It really is shocking.
It is. And then, of course, Hunter Biden's former partner, Bob Bielinski, the reason he came forward is because of what you said, that the letter that was signed that they were accusing him of not just what was on the laptop, which was ridiculous, and isn't this hackneyed by now, Russian disinformation?
Right.
But they accused him of it, and that's why he came forward.
Right. Well, he's a very credible witness. I watched him. He's very, you know, he has documents that back up his story. Very serious charges against the Biden family. And yes, this is what he's told us about coming forward. I would, you know, when the dust settles, I would also be very interested just to sort of follow up on that, because he has known about this for some time. And I would be interested in why it did take him this long. I mean, it's one thing to be labeled Russian disinformation and come forward 10 days before an election, but it's another to have been in these meetings with the Biden family, understanding that a very important political family was trading on its name in a run-up to a presidential election, going back to, 2017, in its dealings with the Chinese Communist Party. And I don't know if it's because he didn't understand what that meant back then. Maybe more people were still doing business with China. I don't know.
Right.
But it's a long time coming, getting this, certainly through the impeachment and all the rest of it, and the various investigations. So he said that he was also really put on notice by the recent report from the Senate on the Bidens, on Hunter Biden's dealings.
Right.
And that was also part of his interest in coming forward. Maybe he just got sick of the whole thing. Maybe also, you know, you just don't know how these things play. But as an election breaks, people do tend to go to the winning side, and perhaps it is a better position for him to be in, having made a clean breast of it. I am hoping and praying before Donald Trump is reelected. So there are a lot of things there that are interesting to sort of think about, but the main evidence is stunning. And the other scandal going on that is really just tremendous and hard to comprehend, really, even as we are familiar with the sort of the pattern, the media is suppressing the story.
Yeah.
In ways that maybe, you know, I don't know if they're unprecedented really, but they certainly are just shameful.
It's incredible. I don't watch network television, but from what I understand, I had a friend that was kind of forced to at one point,
yeah.
And said they thought they were in another land. They said some absurd things they were bringing up about the president that didn't even make any sense. And they totally and completely ignored this in every aspect. We could say they're media, or you could call them journalists, but it would be incorrect. They are the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party.
Absolutely.
You know, that's not just my opinion. Anyone can listen to that for themselves and realize these people are not journalists. This is not the media that America should have or has had in the past.
Right.
Were you surprised? Yeah, I'm kind of surprised with Brennan and Clapper. I mean, are they so sure that nothing's going to happen after the election to them that they would again do something like this?
No. It could be just, it is, you know, again, improvisation. It is a Hail Mary action. It is an effort to give cover to the journalists, so-called big quotation marks, who are protecting and suppressing the story, protecting their own readers and viewers from the story. And if they can then cite these people with big titles from in the intelligence world, head of CIA, national security advisor, all this kind of thing, I think that they just are covering each other. It's like a mob backing each other's alibis at this point. I don't know another way to really think of it. I would say that, you know, you look at that atmosphere the media lives in that I think most Americans are rejecting. I really do believe it.
Yes.
I reject it. I don't look at networks anything
No.
unless I have to look at a clip to be able to understand what's going on. But look at Leslie Stahl's attitude and set of attitudes or set of beliefs that she put forward in that unedited, fantastic expose that the White House did for us in releasing the full unedited 60 Minutes interview with the president.
Yes.
We have to believe that she believes what she's saying just for the sake of argument here. She actually says the Obama administration there was no evidence that the Obama administration and the Democrats spied on the Trump campaign.
Oh.
She actually said that. She also said that the Hunter Biden laptop was no scandal. So if this is the mindset, then yes, network news and what they call legacy media, they are creatures of that mindset. And I'll just share with you something from a very long time ago when I was a young journalist in Washington, and I went to this dinner of conservative journalists that was put together by a New York Times reporter for a magazine story. I think it was, I want to say it was James Atlas, back from many years ago, New York Times Sunday magazine story, where he convened some conservatives in Washington together because he had never met any. And because he had never read, at the time especially, this was shocking, he had never read or picked up The American Spectator, which especially in those years was very widely read, things like that. That is who these people are. It's like their world is sort of Central Park West and Central Park itself, and that's where that's what nature is to them, and that's what America is to them. You know, there's nothing more, and it's just each other. So if you're constantly talking to each other and you think that conservatives are all on a weird fringe, then you have to draw your understanding from each other. And I think this is where things skew so sharply, And maybe you can almost argue that some of them don't know better. I don't know if that's probably going too far. But in I was shocked by what he said to us going back, say, this was probably around 1990 or something like that, a very long time ago. But think of that. He was a journalist. He was trying to cover politics, and he did not know anybody from the right at all, had not mm-hmm. any contact with them. And that was sort of a revelation to me. And I think that's a way a lot of people function. I know lots of, especially when I was working in Washington as a journalist, I knew lots of people, and I certainly knew what they were writing. And I certainly was aware of what their papers said. How could you not be, you know, but they did not look at it the same way. And, you know, looking at how they operate, a perspective here again, if you look at the run-up to the Bill Clinton election in 1992, the Washington Times, which is a conservative paper, lone conservative voice at that time in Washington, the Washington Times was covering a lot of the scandals that developed in the Clinton administration to come. The draft dodging, the anti-Americanism, the womanizing. I mean, these were stories being developed at the time before Clinton was in office, and we were shut out. I worked for the Washington Times at the time. We were shut out of the mainstream media, no pickup. So you can say this is new because the formats and the platforms are new, and maybe the power is different. But in those days, we only had the three networks, I think, still. I don't even know. Cable was very new then. Mm-hmm. We did have talk radio developing, but I mean, it was sort of new. And Rush Limbaugh was still in his early years, for example, back then. So that freeze on information was kind of like the way it is now, except now it's probably multiplied because so many people are into these platforms. But think about this, the big tech, and compare them to the three networks of old. There is a correlation, and it's all about controlling the news, what people hear, according to what the best technology of the day is. So this is a long time developing and a long time of deception by the media of the American people. And all we can do is just, you know, be happy about programs like yours and other alternate voices out there that try to at least give people something else to think about and new information for them to make a judgment on.
Exactly, exactly. And on the laptop, we now know, of course, that the FBI sat on this for a year. And they,
yes,
of course, they weren't going to get off of, you know, they were going to keep it right under them if it wasn't. Yeah,
right.
Right. If it wasn't for, you know, Rudy Giuliani, thank God for him. And by the way, he's an expert when it comes to crime family. So they,
yes,
they're in there with the big leagues here now. So,
right.
Ray was, Ray to me is culpable here, but he's not the only player at the FBI, is he?
No, of course. I mean, and this is what Donald Trump 2.0, you know, God praise,
yes,
that we get there.
Yes.
That this is what Donald Trump 2.0 must address, and this is the institutional corruption. It is not a matter of changing an FBI director.
Yes.
This goes down very deep. You know, people always say, oh, I'm not talking about the rank and file. Well, yeah. I don't know about that. Right.
Yeah.
I imagine there are some good rank and file. I would never say there aren't. But
yeah,
the systemic corruption, who gets promoted, has been a rotten system for many, many years. And this is what you see all across our institutions. That's what we were talking about when we were first trying to really explain and learn about the deep state that Donald Trump alone was able to expose just by coming to Washington. I mean, all of this stuff had a facade of being a two-party system, of administering justice. People could sort of be asleep and not really, or not even asleep. People could be watching and think things were functional. It's when the outsider comes in and everything goes haywire, and you know, we see the rolling coup and the conspiracies, and then the utter just seizure of all kinds of power, the two-tier justice, all the rest of it. This is not the action of political appointees. It's not the action of the top tier. This is systemic corruption, and it goes across the government. I would say in order of importance, it's probably the Justice Department, the FBI, the CIA. But it's all over. But think about reorganization or reforming just those watchdog agencies that guard our security.
Yeah.
Top priority for a Trump second administration
has to be
in order to just bring things into the light. I mean, that's really all we're asking. We want things open, exposed, this is what I learned when I was researching my book, American Betrayal, that it was not so much a matter of finding good guys and bad guys according to party designation, Republicans or Democrat. It was not even really about the free world and the totalitarian world. It, to me, I suddenly started seeing history in terms of people who wanted to expose and bring transparency to what was going on from either party, and people who wanted to hide it.
Yes.
And for me, that is how you assess everything in terms of politics. It really does shake things out in an extreme way, and you start to understand who has a place in the deep state and who has a place trying to keep the government by and for the people. So this is a really profound mission, and I certainly hope that Donald Trump takes it seriously in what I hope is a second term. So big changes would need to happen that are themselves systemic.
Well, I couldn't agree more. It needs to be priority one. You cannot waste time on this because it's very serious for the American people. He has to do this. These individuals, and I agree with you, there are absolutely some good people in there, but I don't believe all of the rank and file underneath are that good.
Can't be.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. It can't be because those that get promoted are coming from there. They didn't suddenly change their worldview. You know,
right.
I mean, it's like that. Now, the FBI knew about the money Hunter was receiving, and if they, you know, if they read the emails as Peter Schweizer did, they knew, as Giuliani pointed out, that Joe Biden was receiving a cut, or as he put it, a taste of every China, Ukraine, or Russia deal Hunter made. Is that correct?
That seems to be what we're learning. I mean, it's fantastic when you think about it, because really, if he had only put a foundation in there, right, he probably could have managed it. I mean, this is sort of the difference between, you know, when, for example, remember when Hillary Clinton was about to be confirmed as Secretary of State, there was a small effort to open up the world, the eyes of America, to the fact that her foundation was taking millions of dollars from the nations and often the governments, but certainly principals in these nations of countries that America has dealings with, and how corrupt that looked and how corrupt it was, how compromising this was. How could we have someone as Secretary of State whose family foundation was, in a sense, in business with every country that America had dealings with? Similar situation, and yet the foundation gave somehow it was a pay-to-play thing that we discovered about Hillary Clinton as well. So it's a matter of degrees, I suppose, but there's something so naked about the Biden family conversations, essentially monetizing the name, that at least we did not hear, we don't see recorded. But in the Clinton situation, they may exist. I'm not saying they don't, but it's interesting to sort of juxtapose those two corrupt families and actually make the judgment call, as I have, that the Bidens seem worse.
They
I mean, just
worse.
In terms of the naked, the nakedness, and maybe the cruder mechanism. Maybe they're just not as cunning. It could be something just that kind of degree of difference. But interesting to think about. I was really taken up short. I read a very fascinating analysis. Again, you know, we're waiting for official analyses. If we had a Justice Department, if we had an FBI, all these things. But these things are sort of breaking all over. And I read a very interesting one on Zero Hedge that was making the case that the Hunter Biden and Joe Biden had been involved with the Chinese for a very long time and were targeted by the Chinese government as an influence operation to essentially co-opt the family, control the family, and so on. It's quite fascinating. And one of the principals was a man named Yang Jiechi, who's kept very high up in the government to this day, who has been in the government a very long time. And I looked him up because I was interested if he had dealings with the Clintons. You know, remember, the Clintons were very crude, too. We had Chinese money coming from the Chinese military entering the White House, if you recall, back in the days of the White House coffees and all the rest of it. So they refined their game, I guess, when they finally started their foundation. But previous to that, I did not find this Yang fellow with them, at least in my first looking. I found him connected, though, to George H.W. Bush. gosh.
I'm not surprised.
But I was shocked because the situation developed. Yang was a very young man. He was assigned to former CIA Director Bush in 1977 on a group visit that included members of what would be his future administration as president years later, to China, extended visit, including talks with the Chinese government, with a Pennzoil executive about developing Chinese oil. His interpreter was this fellow Yang. He developed a close, lifelong friendship with Yang. Yang ended up being a back channel between the Chinese and later President Bush. But think about that 1977 moment, talking about developing oil with Pennzoil, which was actually the company that had his own, George H.W.'s own oil company had merged with. And in this article that discussed it in 2000, an LA Times article, the reporter who covered this situation for a very long time didn't seem to think anything amiss. He actually said that Bush had made it known to the Chinese that he would be running for president. So what we're seeing is more swamp behavior in this, with the same kinds of business and government and promises and compromise going on in the late 1970s. With this man Yang, whom of course the Bush family had to nickname Tiger Yang, another preppy nickname. Remember Bandar Bush?
Yeah.
So Tiger Yang, though, appears as very key, it seems, in the Hunter Biden Chinese story all these years later. So was his mission to penetrate leading American political families by the Chinese government? He's very high in this man Yang is very high in the government now, and he's considered the expert on America. Well, why not? He had essentially become very influential in the lives of very important Americans, and that is a frightening thing. But look again at these patterns just repeating themselves over time. It's disgusting. And again, Donald Trump, Mr. Private Industry Man coming to town, he doesn't care about these things, isn't bound by them, is the man to open it up. And this, must become, if we are lucky enough to get him as president for four more years, this must become a central mission of the second term.
Yes. Yeah. In our last couple of minutes here, Diana, if God forbid Joe Biden would cheat his way into office, would communism gain ground under his administration, and might he end up selling us to the highest bidder?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is very clear. You don't need a crystal ball. We know that he's essentially signed on to, in effect, his campaign site talks about the Green New Deal, which is a mechanism to socialize more of our economy. Our energy sector would tank. The ideas that Kamala Harris brings in, the endorsements by the likes of Communist Party vice presidential candidate, former Angela Davis, the 60s radical who has endorsed the Biden-Harris ticket not once but twice. These are very important. In fact, Vladimir Putin made note of that in a recent interview, how wonderful it was, how much common ground there was between the Democrat Party values and literally he used the word Soviet values.
Wow.
This is a true thing. Just about a week ago, he made this interview, and he also highlighted the importance of Angela Davis. Well, she has sort of reemerged as sort of a Democrat spokesman. She's close to the AOC plus three people, the Black Lives Matter movement. She has said that she's endorsed Biden-Harris because Biden is so easily manipulated. That's not the exact quote, but it's the meaning of her endorsement. This is definitely an election over communism, which would come to America through the Biden-Harris ticket versus freedom, which is the Donald Trump agenda. So it's as black and white, as stark as it could be.
Absolutely. And God forbid to that.
Diana,
where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work and purchase your books, including American Betrayal and The Red Thread?
Oh, thank you for asking. Everything is at dianawest.net. And I've just started a Patreon discussion channel, which is fun to do to get just to get a little bit more off my chest. So those two places.
Okay, excellent. And as always, I'll have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the on air button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links and info to follow Diana. Thanks so much again, Diana, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Bye for now, Audrey. Thank you.
Thank you.